Good morning, Cornerstone. My name is Hannah, and I am one of your interns for this year. And this morning, I have the privilege to carry on with our Disciplined Disciples series with a talk about prayer. And I might be biased as the intern for prayer and mission, but I truly believe that prayer is possibly one of the most important disciplines that we have been talking about, as it has the power to transform us inwardly and change those around us too. The verses that we heard read by Pete this morning were from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. And I really love this passage as we hear Jesus teaching us directly how to pray. Now, praying is something that I have been doing for a number of years as a follower of Jesus. But my first encounter of prayer was possibly my most powerful moment of prayer. As I was a child, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, but I went to a school where we would pray and we would sing Christian songs. And we often had the vicar come and speak to us. And in one of these times, at the end, she would often say a prayer and allow us to make it our own prayer, should we wish. And during one of these times, there was a time of silence, and I remember God asking me, or feeling a sense that I should be going to church. And that's what started my relationship with God. I went to church and I found out more about who He is and what He thinks about me, and began to learn more about how to pray for myself. But wherever you are in your walk of learning about God and learning to pray, I encourage you that it is a good and a faithful walk that will one day, step by step, slowly, day by day, change you and transform you into the son or daughter that God has created you to be. We're all learning to pray, and if you don't know what prayer is, then it's communication with God. It's talking to God and finding out what His thoughts and feelings are for you in your life, and those around you too. And we're all learning to pray, and that's such a it was such an encouragement when I read that recently in a book, that there is no end point to our learning how to pray. And you can't expect to be an expert straight away. If you were learning to ride, not ride, if you were learning to run a marathon, for instance, you wouldn't expect to run out that door straight away and be able to run that marathon on your first practice. No, you would run a mile and then you would come back, and then you would run the next day and the next day, slowly building yourself up till you could run that marathon or run 10K or whatever it is that you're training to do. And in much the same sight, we can't expect to be able to sit in silent prayer for an hour straight away, or to be able to pray out loud the most beautiful, eloquent prayer straight away. But we can expect that to happen when we press into God, when we pray daily and frequently, and remember to do that often. And so the disciples here, they in verse 1, they ask Jesus, they say, Lord, teach us to pray. And again, I found this really encouraging because disciples are people who have been praying their whole lives. They're Jewish by tradition and by religion. And so as part of that, they would have been praying all their lives. And so for them to be asking Jesus how to pray, it gives me hope as a 24-year-old that there is still more to learn in my prayer life. And Jesus responds, you know, and because he sees that he has wisdom to give to these disciples, and he gives us the Lord's Prayer, which is a beautiful prayer that we can pray that has every element of prayer that we need. And so I encourage you that if you don't know how to pray, you've never done it before, then I encourage you to look up this verse and pray the Lord's Prayer. And you'll be able to see what exactly Jesus is asking us to do. See, the disciples, they recognize that they can pray, but Jesus, he can pray, you know? And they want to be able to bridge that gap and experience the same level of relationship that Jesus has with God for themselves. No matter where you are, God wants to meet with us, and he wants to grow deeper with us in relationship with him. So when you feel you've given all you can in your prayer life, when you've reached a plateau, we can always go deeper. How do we move forward? Well, we can use Luke, this passage, to help us. We can use the Lord's Prayer. We can recognize that our help doesn't just come from Scripture, but it comes from the Spirit too. We have the Holy Spirit as our spirit guide to help us as we journey in our faith to God. And one of the most amazing things that I love is that not only do we have the Spirit, but the Spirit will intercede for us when we don't even have the words. Romans 8 talks about how the Spirit intercedes for our groans. And this, for me, is particularly helpful when I'm sad, when I'm mourning, when I'm angry, when I am lamenting, when I don't have the words to be able to express exactly what I'm feeling. I know that as long as I come to God in prayer, in that prayerful place, that the Spirit will come and he will intercede for me, so that I am still meeting with God. And so this comes to my second point, that what a privilege it is that we have this tool to be able to pray to God. You know, God is the creator of all things. He created me and you. He created the sun outside, the hills and everything that is good he created. And yet he wants to have a relationship with me and you. And I just find that baffling and amazing and awe-inspiring that God wants to meet with each of us any and every moment that we allow him to. And Richard Foster talks about this as being a communion with the Father. And we see this in our passage, is that in verse 2, Jesus says we should start our prayer with, "Father, may your name be kept holy." And we are recognizing by saying that first line that we can call him Daddy. We can say, "You are our Daddy," and we can come to you with whatever it is that we are dealing with at that time. But it also recognizes that he is holy, that he is the God of all. And what a blessing it is that we can come to him, come to the Holy of the Holiest, the Holiest of the Holies, and call him Daddy, and call him Abba Father. And when we do this, when we pursue our relationship with God, then transformation will happen. I don't know about you, but you might have a best friend or a family member or a husband or a wife that you know intimately, that you know them really, really well. And when you get to know someone that well, you begin to be able to know exactly what they're going to say before they've even said it sometimes. Or you might know how they're going to react to different situations or how they might be in different interactions. And when we're with God, it is just the same. We begin to desire the things that He desires for this world, and it helps us to know how to pray and what to pray. See, He's our Father and we are His sons and daughters. And when we pray like this, we become able to see things from His point of view. Prayer has the power to take over our lives and to be part of our every moment living. We can pray in the instant as we're thinking, as we're walking, as we're showering, as we're reading our books. We can be talking to God and seeing what it is that He thinks about this too. This is such an amazing privilege, and it becomes, when prayer becomes like this, it becomes far from that list of wants and needs that you need from God, which 100% has its place, and I'll be talking about this in just a second. But if we don't have our place, if we don't have our heart in the right place, then how do we know what it is that we should be praying to ask for? We need to be in right relationship with God before we know what it is that we can ask for. I've got one of my favourite books about prayer is Pete Gregg's How to Pray. I'm sorry that it's back to front. In here, there's a passage from a story that Pete shares with a Franciscan priest that he's having pizza with, which is for me quite a funny image in itself. And as they're sat eating this pizza, chatting away, Pete is talking to the priest about all the amazing things that they're doing and praying about and asking for and all the people that are coming to faith. And this Franciscan priest says, that's great, and it has its place. But he also challenged Pete, and he said this, and I want to share with you this short passage. What if the hour you spend in the prayer room, put in your prayer time in the morning or your quiet time in the evening, what about if that hour you spend with God is when you focus on Jesus so that you can carry His presence into the other 23 hours of the day with a heightened awareness that He is with you, that He is for you, that He likes you, and that He hears your voice and hears your thoughts. You start to pray in real time. You instinctively lift situations to the Lord in the actual moment that you experience them. While you're watching that distressing news report or hearing about your friend's latest crisis, you're no longer deferring all of your prayers to some later point, some holier moment, because all of your life is becoming that holier moment. And so in this, we can see that when we spend time with God, just recognizing who He is, recentering our lives on Him, our whole lives can become what Thessalonians says when we should pray continually. Now, this might seem like it might seem quite hard to sit and think for an hour and be to pray for an hour, but I want to encourage you that we can go back to basics. And coming up, we have our week of prayer from the 21st to the 31st of May, and we've titled it Time to Reset. And I really hope and I pray that this time will be a period where you can come and pray and maybe come back to the basics, time to reset and reignite your prayer life. I want to encourage you that prayer doesn't have to be complicated. We don't have to have all the words and all the sentences and all the scriptures to pray. It's about heart posture. When one of the things that I love about Jesus is he says, come to me, come to the Father like children. We are asked to come to the Father like little children. And if you know anything about little children, is that they will be completely honest and they will tell you exactly what they want. I have the pleasure of living with three young boys and their family, and they will exactly do that. If they want a yogurt for dinner, for afterwards, for after pudding, then they will tell you that, and they will tell you exactly what they want. Or if they want fruit, they'll tell you what fruit they want, that they want, in the full assurance that their parents will give it to them, because their parents love them and their parents know that, you know, they want what's best for them. We see this in today's passage from verses 5 to the end, with this strange story about this friend coming to someone's house late at night and banging on the door for some food. And they keep banging and banging and banging until the friend eventually gives in, gets out of bed and brings this person some food. In our prayer lives, how often as adults do we ignore the fact that we can bang on God's door, theoretically, again and again and again, when we want something, when we know that something should happen and it's not happening? How often are we persistent in our asking? Recently, during the coronavirus, someone from our church, from Connect, his uncle became seriously unwell and was taken into hospital. He was on all sorts of medication, and for a long time they thought that it was touch and go. And as a church, as a gathering, Connect began to pray for this uncle and his family. And it was amazing to sort of be a part of, because one day he would be completely fine and we'd be praising that he was fine. And then the next day he was unwell again and his wife was being called in to say goodbye. And we kept praying. We prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And thank you, Jesus. He came home just a few weeks ago and he is safe and he is well. It's the power of prayer. We were persistent and we did it. We weren't going to let no be an answer to that question. And so I encourage you, what is it in your life that you have been praying for again and again? I encourage you to keep praying, to keep asking, to be persistent, even when you feel like a nuisance. You see, God is our Father, and he wants to give us the things that he knows are good, and he will answer our prayers. Maybe not always in the way that we want him to, but he will. And so I encourage you to be praying, to be involved in our time next week, to get involved in our morning and evening prayer times. We're going to meet every morning from 8 a.m. At 8 a.m. for a little while, and 8 p.m. for a little while too. And in those times, we're going to be able to pray for those things that you have been praying for. On the 29th of May, so nearly a week on Friday, we are going to have from 8 p.m. on the Friday to 8 p.m. on the Saturday, we're going to have a 24/7 prayer Zoom. We're going to link that with a day of fasting too, to link with the talk that Peter gave us a few weeks ago. This is such an amazing time for us as a church to come together. I think it's been amazing that when we have become Cornerstone, that actually in this time of coronavirus, which I 100% think is not a good thing, but it has forced us to become one church. We are all watching this together. There'll be people watching this from Headingley, from Crag, from Connect and wider. And what an amazing thing that we have been able to become one church for this time. And as we look forward into the future of our church outside of coronavirus, I implore you and encourage you to be praying for us. Be praying that God's kingdom would come in Horsforth, in Headingley and in Bramley, that we would see people's lives changed through the work that we are doing as the body of Christ. And so this is my encouragement. Keep praying. As Pete Gregg would say, keep it simple, keep it real, and keep it up. But don't overcomplicate it. Prayer is a beautiful tool we can have to understand and get to know our Lord and Saviour. And let's do that. Let's do that together, and let's learn together as we grow in relationship with one another, but also with God. Amen.